Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program for you today. Our speaker, Jeff Coulter, is an associate pastor with Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We join today's message, Ask Big from a Big God, already in progress.
A good definition of faith is being sure that the one who promised will fulfill that promise. Faith is more about the promiser than it is about the promise. Dave, who you'll see in a little while here, has a four-year-old daughter. If she promised you $1,000, would you be on the edge of your seat and all excited? No, because it's about the promiser. There's no expectation that a four-year-old is going to fulfill that promise. But when God speaks, the more that we know the promiser, the easier it is for us to believe the promise. If we don't know our promiser, then when he speaks, it's like, wow, that's a tall order still, Lord. I don't know. You know, I heard what you said, but I just don't know. And in Genesis, where God shows up to Abraham and says, this time next year, you're going to have a baby. The Bible says that Sarah stood in the tent door and laughed because of the problem. The problem was just too big. I'm in my 90s. Okay, that doesn't happen. But also laughed at the size of the promise. Lord, I hear what you're saying, but still, the size of the promise is just too big. But Hebrews 11:11 says that, in fact, I'll read it here. Hebrews 11:11, King James says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of child when she was past age, and here's the phrase, because she judged him faithful who promised. It was about the one who promised, not even about the size of the promise. So she went from my problem's too big to even the promise is too big, but wait a minute, who's the one that made the promise? Okay, that I can grab onto. That I can stick with. The one who made the promise, that one's faithful. Okay, that's where I'm going to stay. We grow in our faith by three things. Number three, hang around people of faith. The Bible says, Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if the people that you're hanging around are speaking faith, they're speaking the Word of God, your faith will be built up. Number two way to grow in your faith is to plant your faith. Jesus gives the illustration of a mustard seed. He said a mustard seed is the tiniest of all seeds, but when it's planted, it becomes the largest of all herbs, big enough for birds to nest in it. Plant your faith. You don't start out with great faith. Doesn't matter who you are. Everybody's got a story of when they started. Pastor Thurman has a guy that has stage 4 cancer. Lord audibly speaks to him in the hospital. He hears a voice literally in the hallway out loud. If you'll tell this gentleman to call the elders of the church, pray over him, anoint him with oil, like James says, and the Lord didn't tell him it was in the Word, but I'll heal him. But where his faith started was, I'm going to start with a bottle of olive oil that I got from the grocery store, and I'm going to pour it all over this guy and rub it in because maybe that helps somehow. You know, maybe olive oil is somehow good for the skin and soaks in, and, you know, I don't know how this works. But what did he do? He planted his faith. Okay, since then, it's people getting pulled out of wheelchairs, the blind eyes seeing, all kinds of stuff happening, but it didn't start out that way. So number two way to grow in your faith is to plant your faith. And the number one way, and what we're going to talk about today, the best way to grow your faith is to get to know the promiser better. The more you know the one that's making the promise, the easier it is to believe the promise. You say, well, of course my God would do that. He said so. You know, how could he not do that? We're talking about the last one, how to get to know the promiser better. So let me just ask you, what are some ways that we can get to know the Lord personally? Shout them out. Study His Word, yes. Spend time with Him, good. Worship, excellent. Fast, excellent. Pray, wonderful. Rejoice in the victories we see. I like it, that's good. Amen to that. Be with fellow believers, amen. All fantastic. I'm going to focus in on one of them today. I want to focus in on prayer today. I talked to a gentleman a few weeks ago who's called before, who's come to healing school, great guy, great heart. But one of the things that he said in our conversation is, I've got to be honest. He said, you know, you talk about getting to know the Lord and spending time with the Lord. And he said, I find that I don't know what to say. I talk to the Lord for 2 or 3 minutes, and I run out of stuff to say. What do you say? And I thought, I appreciated that. You know, somebody just being transparent, being honest. I know that he loves the Lord. He's a great guy. But just the honesty to say, I don't know how. How do I do this? How do I grow in this relationship with the Lord through prayer? So we're going to look at some scriptures today about prayer. Let's turn to Luke 11:1 in the NLT if you've got it. If not, we're going to put it up on the board. Luke 11:1 says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. This is encouraging for me. It means for the gentleman that I talked to, it means for you and I that we're not the only ones that have struggled with the issue of, okay, Lord, we don't know as much as we'd like to how to pray. What do we say? How do we grow in this relationship with you? We see you, Jesus, praying all the time. And we'll look at some more scriptures here in a minute. But it's interesting to me that they spent 3 years with Jesus, walking with him, doing stuff with him, seeing the stuff that he did. And the Bible says they actually did a bunch of it themselves. And they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to heal. Lord, teach us how to study. Lord, teach us how to raise the dead. The only one of those that it mentions, the only question they asked was, Lord, teach us how to pray. It's interesting to me. Of all the questions that they could have asked, they said, Lord, we see that there's something here. We see that there's somehow power in this. We see you doing it a lot, and we don't have a clue. Teach us to pray. Okay, let's read some other scriptures here. Turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 32 in the NLT. Mark 1:32 and following. Says this, that evening after sunset, so it's dark, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. Then the whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. Because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. And then, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went to an isolated place to pray. The King James says a great while before day. So here is Jesus. Ministry takes him late into the evening. It's well after dark. The whole town gathers at the door, prays for everybody that needs prayer. He's exhausted, but it's still important enough to Jesus to get up a great while before day to spend time with his Father. Matthew 14:23. Let's turn there. Another time when Jesus was ministering to people all day long, and it says, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Okay, so he goes up into the hills to pray. It gets dark. He's still praying. There's another time that this happens with Jesus. The Bible says it ends up being the third watch of the night. 3 a.m., and he's been praying that entire time. He supernaturally sees the disciples in a boat out in the middle of the lake, and the winds are blowing and they're struggling, and so he goes walking to them on the water. Remember that story? He's praying till 3 a.m. in the morning. Okay, something important enough about this to where he's praying till 3 a.m. So sometimes while it's still dark in the morning, sometimes till way after dark at night. Let's turn to Luke 6, verse 12. One day soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. Wow. Could you pray all night? We're supposed to do the stuff that Jesus did, right? It's funny, we aspire to do the things like the healings and the miracles and the raising of the dead and the walking on the water. But if you want to do what Jesus did, you're going to have to do what Jesus did. I'm going to say that again. If you want to do what Jesus did, you're going to have to do what Jesus did. He spent all night in prayer. Now, the very next verse is when he calls the disciples. He said, I want to talk to my Father and have communion with my Father. Got something very important to do tomorrow. And it's worth me losing a night's sleep over. The funny thing is for us, we say, I've got a lot to do tomorrow. I better get extra sleep tonight. Jesus said, I've got a lot to do tomorrow. I'm going to go without sleep tonight. If we want to do what Jesus did, we're going to have to do what Jesus did. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 26, starting at verse 39, Matthew 26, 39. And it says, talking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it says, and he went on a little further and bowed his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. And he said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He said, Peter, I don't doubt your heart for a second. You mean well. But meaning well isn't going to get you there. He said, watch and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. Okay, I asked the question, could you pray all night? If you were just alone with the Lord and going to pray, could you pray for an hour? God bless mom and dad, bless grandma and grandpa, bless Pastor Thurman and Cheryl and all the people at the Living Savior Ministries, help all the starving children in Africa, bless all the missionaries. 15 seconds. It's funny, but honestly, okay, I'll tell a story of myself. True story. I decided I needed to spend time alone with the Lord. And so I put a tent and a sleeping bag in my car, drove off to a campground out in the mountains, was going to spend the day with the Lord. And I was all excited about spending the day with the Lord. And I got out there and realized I didn't know what to say. And I spent, you know, a half an hour, and I just was like, you know, I don't know what to do, Lord. I don't know what to do now. So I thought I'll do a prayer walk, which means basically you're walking and then every now and then you think about saying maybe a small prayer. And I realized that I did not know the Lord as well as I thought I did.
You have been listening to Jeff Coulter of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Ask Big from a Big God, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.